Okay, it is the 28th of Teves, the 15th of January, studying the Sefer Olam Hamidos. Let us continue again on page Chaf, still in the introduction, talking about Midos in general before we get into specific Midos. So we saw this last time that, as the author points out to us, that sometimes a person thinks he is very developed in a certain Midah, and it's really just that he hasn't been tested. Thank you. It's really just that he has not been tested, and I almost never get angry, but that's because I'm never provoked. If the few times, the rare occasions when I get provoked, I get very angry, so then I'm not really too developed in that area. And he gives us a nice mushel that you have when the grass is cut short, it all looks the same, but when it grows longer, you can see what's a weed and what's grass. When you let things come out and develop, then we see what they're really like. So as he says in the bottom paragraph there in page Chaf, Lamoshal Adam Choshev She'enu Kasa, and a person thinks, for example, he's not an angry person, Shari Kamat Ve'enu Kois Al Chaveriv, because he almost never gets angry. Chutz Me Adam Ploni She'tamid Matrido Som She'losev, except for so-and-so, always bothers me with his questions. Amdam Tzarech L'Hakir She'chutz Me Ploni.
Maybe Rabbi Sender was just talking about me with all the questions.
Yeah. That should be the worst provocation. Believe me. Anyway, the Gemara does tell us about Hillel's great tolerance, that on Erev Shabbos they would provoke him. That. Anyway. So Erev Shabbos is a time when I think we're all, if we want to check if we are have developed in our control of anger, it's when you're rushing to get things done on Erev Shabbos and somebody is delaying you or being matred you. That would be a good example. But as he writes, he has to understand, except for so-and-so, that's not the exception. That's an indication. He has patience only up to this point. He'd find himself in a harder circumstance, he would easily fall into the hand of his Yetzer and come to anger. We are not the general approach to test ourselves. There were great Musar schools that did things that were specifically meant to train themselves in different midas. Generally not a good idea, but in a Vardic school they somewhat did that. But a person has to learn from his weaknesses. Mahu be'emes madregosa b'midah zos. What's his true level in this particular midah? V'yishtadel b'chol kocho l'hashlam asatzim. He's try as much as he can with all of his efforts to complete himself, to reach shleimus in that midah. Okay, so next section. Tikkun ha'midos hu matana la'adam. Fixing the midos is a great gift. It's a great thing to have. Tikkun ha-midos hu ha-matana ha-gedolu b'yoser sh'yesh lo la'adam. Fixing the midos. Tikkun ha-midos is the greatest gift that a person can have. Amru Chazal, there's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, the pasuk refers to charus al haluchos, engraved on the luchos, and Chazal say, don't read it charus, elo cherus. Deeper level, it's not just talking about being engraved, it's talking about freedom. Cherus is freedom. Ein lecha ben chorin elamisha osik v'talmud Torah. You don't have anybody who's truly free, but somebody who engages in Torah. Shayidei tikkun midosav, hu ben chorin mikol advarim hamafriim l'chaya. Because by way of fixing his midos, he is a free person from all the things that disturb his life. I actually gave a schmooze to the boys in school about this on Friday. There are many people who look very free. They have all the freedom, theoretically, in the world, but actually they're enslaved. And there are people who look very torud and very busy, and like their time is not free, and it isn't in a certain sense, but they actually are free, because they're free to analyze and identify and pursue what they're here for. And other people are not. They get on the turnpike and everybody's driving, so they drive too, but they don't know where they're driving and why they're driving, and have no freedom to change course. So Torah gives us the ability to say, why am I here? What should I be doing? How do I achieve that? So that's freedom. Hamidos ra'os machbidos al chaye ha'odam. Bad midos weigh down the life of man. They encumber him. K'mo sh'amu chazal ha'kinah v'atayv v'akavim matzinas ha'odam in ha'olam. Jealousy, desire, and pursuit of honor drive a person from the world. Upiresh HaTeferes Yisrael. It's a classic commentary in the bottom of a standard Mishnayos. We learned from what's called the Yachinu Boaz edition. And the Teferes Yisrael is one of the great commentators right there on the page. When it says it drives a person from this world, min olam hazeh ve'olam haba. It drives him from this world and the next.
Which Yisrael was this?
Huh?
Who was the Teferes Yisrael?
I don't remember his name.
Sorry.
A little bit controversial, the Teferes Yisrael. Actually, it's a little bit relevant to this, what we're going to see soon, but he writes a quote-unquote medrash about Moshe Rabbeinu, that a king sent artisans to make it from another nation. He sent his artisans to look at Moshe Rabbeinu and make a bust of Moshe Rabbeinu's face, and then he brought it back, and he had his people who knew chachmas apartzuf, those who know the wisdom of studying a person's facial features and determining the true essence of their soul, and his interpreters over there interpreted this person who we're looking at has this bad mida and that bad, he's the worst of the worst of the worst, so he was ready to kill his scientists, because they don't know what they're talking about. This is the great leader. This man is a legend in the entire universe, in the entire world. But he sent a message. I forget exactly how it goes, but sent a message to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe said, no, they're actually right. I have all of those midos, but I overcome them. So it's not really a medrash. It's a legend like that. Some people found it too much. The idea of it is good, that we can have negative midos and still rise above, but... does say that when Moshe Rabbeinu was born, the house was filled with light, you know, and so it's... But anyway, that's on the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos of Tosha Barofim Legehenim, whatever reason, I don't remember why that comes up there, but he happens to cite that story in a moment.
That's the Teferes Yisrael.
Yeah.
Actually, that story came up at a Shabbos table, and the person wasn't able to cite the source. So
yeah.
I'm happy to be able to go back to the source.
I think it's actually an old legend. There's some things that people say over as a medrash that we don't necessarily have as a real medrash. But anyway, that's all an aside.
Sorry.
And not no. Asides are good. But not my main point. The point here is as follows. There are some things where we sacrifice Olam Hazeh for Olam Haba. I teach Mishlei Shabbos mornings at many psukim about being koneh. You have to, when you acquire something, you give money to get something else. You sacrifice one thing for something else. A machir, you exchange something. The point of what he's saying here is giving up kina and taiva and kavod. It's not like I would have really had a joyous life of jealousy in Olam Hazeh, but I sacrificed it for Olam Haba. It's not good in Olam Hazeh either. That's what he means when he says it drives a person from both worlds.
I have two questions.
Yeah.
So the first one is that we ask every day not to be tested, right?
Right.
But then if you're not, I don't want to be tested, right? But then at some point it's possible that, you know, when you are tested, you bring out your potential, right?
Hashem can determine when we should be tested. We're not supposed to ask for it.
Right.
The famous chazal about David HaMelech, why the Avos, we say, Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. Not okay, David, and Hashem responded to him, they were tested and you weren't. He said, so test me. And even the great David HaMelech had a Messiah, and it didn't go well. We're not supposed to ask to be tested. Hashem will test us to the degree that we can be tested, but we're not supposed to.
The second thing I wanted to ask is, we're talking about here about Olam Haba and Olam Hazeh, so I heard that Rav Steinemann, like, he didn't want anything, like on his kever, he didn't want anything because he didn't want to take it away from himself in Olam Haba.
Okay. Yisrael Salant used to say, with one simis, a person can use up a lot of his olam haba. Great tzaddikim, they don't want covet in this world. They don't want. There are things where it's a famous medrash about somebody being absolutely destitute and they didn't have Shabbos food. I think we even learned it here in one of our Musar groups. If for a brief while we did the Shirei Das of Yosef Leib Bloch, he cites this medrash and talks about, and then they had no food for Shabbos, so then he went and he basically made a deal. He did a small withdrawal from his account in Olam Haba, which was enormous, a tiny withdrawal from the Olam Haba account. It translates to millions of dollars in Olam Hazeh, and his wife found out about it, and she said, put it back in the safe deposit box, it's not worth it, which we can't even get our heads around. But Rabbi Yisrael Salant used to always say that a person has to be traveling on business. If you're working for the company, then they pay for your car, they pay for your hotel room, then everything you're doing, it might be nice, but it's for the cause. But when a person takes for himself or herself, so that's a big withdrawal. Supposed to be working for the cause, then there are fringe benefits. There's the principle and the interest. But if I'm indulging, I want to indulge, so then a person can be sacrificing Olam Haba for Olam Hazeh. Oh. Okay. I'm about halfway down the page on Chafal. Midosav is the first word on the line. The person who fixes his midos, Zochalirus is Olam Abachayev. He sees his world during his lifetime. You know, the reward comes even while he's here. Lilo Shum Kina Sina Tacharus Vakas. Without jealousy, hatred, Tacharus is like competition or friction, anger. Chayim Aleim Simcha Beli Tirdos V'Dagos. A life full of joy without worries and things that weigh on him. I was talking to somebody who's pretty prominent in the Torah world about studying Torah thoroughly and not using Sfarim to kind of lay it all out for us. We have to actually research and do it yourself versus having one of these Sfarim that has it all done for you. And he said, I'm not debating this from the point of Olam Haba, I'm talking about Olam Hazeh. What he meant is, forget about what's greater reward, just in terms of the experience of Torah is greatest. It's very often we talk that way. It's not even about Olam Haba, it's about Olam Hazeh. Leading a life free of jealousy and hatred and anger, forget about that, that's the way we're supposed to be in it. It earns us reward in Olam Haba for this world.
What page are we on?
We're on page Chaf Aleph, about 11 pages past there. V'chein chafshihu ha-bal midas mikol ha-pachodim ha-shonim. Also, bal midas is free of fears. Pachad ha-brios, fear of people. Pachad ha-busha, afraid of being embarrassed. Ushar ha-dvarim ha-ma'akvim as godless ha-odim. And other things that hinder the greatness of man. It takes a lot of work to be at that level, but there are phenomenally inspiring stories about great gedolei ha-musar, how they were totally... basically had negated any other fear because of the fear of Hashem, and had tremendous courage and fearlessness. There are accounts of Daniel Mavshevitz, who was one of the great Bali Musar. He was in the Kelm Yeshiva, and when the Nazis came, he was killed, but he wanted to give a final schmooze, and he did, and he spoke in the same even-keeled way that he spoke all other times, and at the end he turned to the person and said, I'm finished now, you can go ahead. So, this is recorded in the Musa's farm. But there are other stories of tremendous equanimity and strength of character. Rabbeinu Yonah writes in Shari Tshuva a line that must have been from some piyut that they had, Anchosi mipachtacha harchak mimeni ha'anachos. My anxiety is just that I should be in fear of you, remove from me any anxieties. If that's the only thing I worry about, do me a favor, take away all the other da'agasi migodel something b'irascha harachek m'meneh da'agas. My only worry is that I should be serving you right, and therefore please take away other worries. And that's what this is about. A person who has the ultimate fear of Hashem is not afraid of other things, not afraid of people, and so on. Venera. It appears, Shazeu Mash Amru Chazal B'Psachim, this is the Gemara in Psachim, it says as follows, frequently cite this on Shavuos, Rav Yosef B'Yoma Da'atzarta Amar, Rav Yosef on the day of Atzeres is Shavuos, said, Avdili Egla Tilsa, make for me an Egla Tilsa. So an Egla is an eagle, it's a calf. Tilsa means three or third. If I'm not mistaken, there are a few different pshatim on what this means. It could mean the third born, which is supposed to be like the healthiest, most robust. It could mean 3 years old. Somehow it's a good cut of meat. But there's different opinions how so. But eglatilsa is like the classic term for fine meat. And why make me such fine meat on Shavuos? Amar, why is it such a day of celebration? Ilo hayoma de kagorem kama Yosef ikavashuka. If not for this day that causes it, there'd be so many Joes in the shuk. His name was Yosef. There'd be so many Yosefs out there. Meaning this day is what makes me special. The day of the giving of the Torah makes me special. I want to have a nice steak on Shavuos, cheesecake before. But because if not for this day, I'd be a regular Joe. You'll pardon me for paraphrasing, and like, but that's sort of what he's saying. So, ad kan, end quote, v'tamua. So it's a wonder. Haim kavonas Rav Yosef, is the intention of Rav Yosef lahoros lanu shemachmas haTorah shelamad hu adam choshev v'machubed b'ani abrias. What's he saying? Yeah, I really have to celebrate this day because I'm prominent, and the only reason I'm prominent is great is because of this day. I'd be like everybody else, and that would be no. Like, what's he saying? By the way, item. The Gemara at the end of Sota says that when Rabbeinu HaKadosh died, they said, Batlu Anovim. There were no more humble people. And Rav Yosef says, don't say that because it's still me. which sounds funny, but he meant it for real. And Chazal, he was a paradigm of Anivus. We have all these things where it sounds funny, that Hillel, you know, also seems to make contrary statements, but he is considered one of the great Anovim. So what is this? You know, if not for this day, I'd be just like everybody else. Im zeu tachlis shalimin haTorah lias mechubed b'nei abrias, is that the goal, to be honorable in people's eyes? V'od, furthermore, v'adai shim adam chachim k'mor Rav Yosef hayam ashkiyas kachosu ba'asakam al-cherim hayigam kin matzliach. Person great like Rav Yosef would have invested his energies into other pursuits, he'd also be successful. He could have been a great doctor also, you know. So, what does it mean? If not for this day when the Torah was given, I'd be like anybody else. He could have been a famous something else too. There's a recording of Salvechik talking about his grandfather, Reb Chaim Brisker. He said if Reb Chaim had gone into the sciences, he would have been Einstein. He was Reb Yosef could have been a famous something else. What does he mean? I'd be a nobody except for this day. Is it all about being a somebody? And does it mean he would have no prominence if not for Torah? So of course it doesn't mean that. Elavade poshet shabor of Yosef laharos ladoros olam shatorah madricha es adam lios ish meula. Not talking about prominence and acclaim. That could be pursued in other ways, and that's not what he's interested in anyway. What he's talking about, he's teaching for all the generations that the Torah guides a person to be an elevated person. Lichios me'al hevle olam hazeh, to live above the vanities of olam hazeh, v'chasronos adam, and man's shortcomings. V'kama simcha yesh l'adam ha'shalom b'midosev, how much joy there is, not because he's trying to flaunt it to anybody else, but how much joy there is for a person who is developed in midos. If not for this day, he meant without Torah, even if I'd be something else, but I wouldn't be anything. This is the goal of the Torah. Letzarif is abrios, to purify. The word letzarif, a matzrif, is a crucible, burns off the impurities. And there's a chazal that says, Lo nitna Torah el letzarif emesabrios. So that's what he's paraphrasing. K'mo she'ivanu misefer madrega sa'adam, as we cited from the Sefer Madrega sa'adam, you'll recall from one of our earlier classes, Madrega sa'adam is the altar of Nevardak, Rav Yosef Yozel Horowitz, and he describes how the point of man's existence is to be Masak in his Midos. That was back.
Was that the Shalah?
No, much, much more recent. Okay. The bottom of page Dalet and page Hay. He was talking about why our sages point out how Eliezer Eved Avram's whole interaction when he's going to get a wife for Yitzchak is presented at length, whereas even things that are important halachas in the Torah are only alluded to in a word or in a letter. And he said, because the goal of all of the mitzvahs of the Torah is midas, and the avos were paradigms in midas, so that gets front and center in the Torah. Shazoi said, "Shuvas Moshe Rabbeinu l'Malachim klum kina yesh b'chem klum sinu yesh b'chem." And Moshe Rabbeinu goes up to get the Torah, and the Malachim argue with the Almighty and say, "What are you going to give it to man for? He's going to defile it." And Hashem says to Moshe, "Answer them." He answers. He says, "The whole point of having the Torah is purifying oneself, mastering one's midas. You don't have challenge in midas. Malachim did not have the challenge of perfecting their midas, so there's no point in them having the Torah." The goal of the Torah is for us to develop in Midos, to have that struggle and develop. First full paragraph on page Chav Beis, Ubozeh Yevur Mad Isa B'Psachim. And with this, it becomes clear what it means in the Gemara. Pesachim Tana Rabbanan Shlosha Chayehen Einam Chayim. There are three that their life is not life. It's like there's a misery there. Harachamonim means merciful, but it means people who are overly merciful. You know, Pirush Rashbam Yosem, he died too much. V'harachonin, Raseach means boiling, the people who are always angry. V'anine hadas, and we would say like that means like hypersensitive. And V'amar of Yosef, kulhu isnehu vi. Yosef said, I have all three of those winning characteristics. Adkan, that's the same Rav Yosef. V'tzarach Ian needs to be understood. How you talking to Rav Yosef? How you raschan? Could it be that Rav Yosef was an angry raschan? Is really an extreme way of saying somebody's angry. I mean, he's always boiling over. El lefima shiasad nunir. Based on what we've established, it appears that Rav Yosef hayabo betchila midas elu kafitivo. Initially, he had these midas. That was his lot in life. He was given. He was dealt a difficult set of cards in terms of midas. And that's why, as a pasuk in Mishlei, nefesh yodea, no, tzadik yodea maras nafsho. No, how does it go? Something yodea maras nafsho v'simchos bal yisar zar. I can't remember this. But it means that only a person knows his or her own struggles, and in his joy, no one else can mix in. Only one who knows the struggles you had to get where you are can understand the joy you have in being there. Someone else looks, all right, so you accomplished X. So they know what you had to do to accomplish X. So Rabbi Yosef is the one who declares, oh, Shavuos, I have to have the best meat I ever had. Because if not for this day, I'd be nothing. Because he understood his own struggles. And I read for you, I think last time, that letter from Rav Huttner, who says that we do ourselves a disservice when we present the picture of great people only with the finished product and not the process, because that's actually counterproductive. It's discouraging for everybody else who's not there yet, and it doesn't give us a blueprint for how to work on ourselves. Anything makes us think, well, if I'm not like that, then I'm not in the game, which is not the case. Shalor v'yosef ha'yibo b'tchil midas elu k'fitivo. Avol avad al atzmo, he worked on himself, v'hishlim es atzmo, he completed himself, adjas gaber al midos. Again, I'm going to emphasize, the word shleimus is used in our tradition differently from the way it translates into English. Shleimus translates as completion. But when we talk about it, the man is never complete. When we talk about achieving shleimus, I find development to be a better word than completion. Because when we say a person, he achieved shleimus, you know, he's complete, we mean he's developed a lot. He's going in the path of trying to be complete. That's what it means. How appropriate it was, therefore, for that Rav Yosef to say, if not for this day, what I would be. Okay, va'od. Furthermore, yesh sipuk ha'nefesh v'simcha gadol la'odim b'mashem makesh ha'zachal esgarval midos of ha'roos. This is an idea that's spoken about in many svarim, but there's a tremendous satisfaction and a great joy for man when he recognizes that he was meritorious to overpower his negative midos. There's actually a great simcha that comes with winning a battle against the Yetzihara. Bo'rei mashakosav ha-rambam perish ha-mishnah. This is a fascinating thing. There's a number of Rishonim quote this. In the Mishnah that says, ma'od ma'od have shval ruach. Be very humble. There are only a few places where Chazal use the term ma'od ma'od. And it means you're supposed to go to extreme. Are we religious extremists? Yes. Declare jihad on anger, on gaiva, right? So ma'od ma'od, we should be extremists in being humble. So the Rambam tells an account there, and this is a quote here. V'hinei ra'isi b'sefer misifri ha-midas. I saw in one of the books from the Sfarim that talk about midas, there's a debate which sefer he's quoting. In some Acharonim, they say it's in the Archos Tzadikim, but it seems historically the Rambam predates the Archos Tzadikim. I mentioned one of the other times that the Archos Tzadikim, the earliest Archos Tzadikim we have, was published actually in Yiddish. I don't know if it was written in Yiddish. I'm going to leave it to a librarian to do the research on. I forget what it was called. It was called like a Spiegel. It had a funny name, the original Archos Tzadikim. But anyway, in our tradition, it doesn't matter so much what exactly is the earliest source of something. If the Rambam liked a certain account, if the Chovas Havavas liked a certain account, wherever it came from, it becomes part of our tradition. So here's the story. Shenishal Echad min HaChashuvei HaChasidim, one of the very righteous people, was asked, V'nemelo eze yom hu shesamachta bo yosem mikol yomecha. They asked him, what was your happiest day? What was the day that you were more happy than any other day? Okay, now this is a Baal Musar's answer. This is not, you know, a five-year-old kid who went to the candy store. Okay, so brace yourselves. It may not be what you expect. You'll excuse me, it's a little graphic actually. Amar yom shayisi holach basvina. I was traveling on a boat, vahi makomi bapachos shivim komos asvina. I had like the lowest ranking, not even cabin. Yeah, the lowest spot. Bein chavilas habagadam. I was sitting among like the bundles. Vahayu basvina socharim. There were merchants, ubali mama, and people of wealth.
Yeah.
I was sleeping in my spot. There are people who had luxury cabins, other cabins, and he's like sitting the lowest of the low. All right, so I'm going to just paraphrase here, but basically one of the other people got up and, pardon me, urinated on him. So first of all, he was astounded by the azus, the coarseness of the other person, but more impressive to him, but he was so happy that he felt no reaction, felt no change to his esteem, no anger. V'chaya, I'll read his words here. V'chaya Hashem lo kova nafshi l'maaseyu. By Hashem, my soul was not at all pained by his action. Kalal v'lo his over mimeni koach. It didn't elicit any response. V'samachti simcha gedola kishigati l'gvul. I rejoiced a great joy that I reached a level, a border. Shelo yachiveni bizui hachaser ahu, that it didn't pain me, this denigration at the hands of this, we would say, lowlife. V'lo hergisha nafshi elof, and my soul didn't feel anything. V'ein tzafik shezos tachlis shiflas haruach ad shisrachak min agaiva. There's no question. That is the ultimate shiftless aruach, that is so far from haughtiness. So, yes, what was the happiest day? What would the Rambam consider the happiest day of one's life? And people walk around these t-shirts, best day ever. So, this is a Baal Musar's best day ever t-shirt. But it shows you, and I mentioned the Rishol Salanter's Talmud speak about Amidas Hashtavos, an absolute equilibrium, that no matter what happens, that people are trying to make me feel really good, people are trying to make me feel really bad, it doesn't affect me. That's a tremendous level in Midos. But it's so telling that the Rambam should present this to us, that that's the true simcha when one is in full control of his Midos. So Baal Midos, Hainu Misha Yeshlo Baalus Al Midosav. What a simple message. Talk about somebody who's a Baal Midos, means somebody who has Midos. Baal Midos. Baal means master. He's the owner. Baal Midos means he owns his Midos. But Mokum Shetzarach Lias Takif U Takif, where you have to be strong, forceful, he's forceful. Mokum Shetzarach Lias Rach U Rach, where you have to be soft, he's soft. I think I mentioned one of the other times Malbim says it on Yosef HaTzadik, that Hu naris b'nei bilavis b'nei zilpa. Well, first it says Hayaroes echa batzon. Hu naris b'nei bilavis b'nei zilpa. Hayaroes echa batzon. He translates to mean he showed all the others how they should shepherd, and then the ones that the brothers who were sort of mocked by the others, so he associated with them to make them feel good. So when he had to be the leader, he was the leader. When he had to be the one in the back, he's the back. It says the Malbim, if a person has one, always shows one midah. Always assertive. So that might just mean he's an assertive person, but he's assertive even when it would have been much more sensitive to be soft. A person's always soft. He's a soft person by nature, but that would have been better in that circumstance to speak up. But if a person is able to implement different midos at different times, that means he's really a Baal midos. B'mokim shetarach liyos manhig, yeh manhig, where you have to be a leader, he'll be a leader. B'mokim shetarach lachnia lachaver, where you have to submit himself to his friend, kach yaaseh. However the Torah necessitates him to be, Kein Yia, that's how he will be. We learned here the Chazon Ish's Emunah Bitachon, who talks about a person who is a Gomel Chasadim, wants to do Chesed, and he tells a little vignette there about somebody invited a Shabbos guest, and everybody was excited to have this Shabbos guest, and then it turns out he had other accommodations, and the family was all upset, and he calls him the Chasid, the father says, I'm not upset, I was doing it so he should be taken care of. I wasn't doing it to entertain myself, so if he's taken care of, I'm happy he's taken care of. In other words, that the midah is there. It's a question of whatever the Torah needs me to do, that's what I'm here to do. Ve'eino chai machshava shel katnus she'in ze kefi tchunas nafshi. And he's saying a real Baal Midas doesn't live with the small-mindedness. In Kabbalah, it's called Torah katnus amochin, which is more than that, but it also means like being limited. Can I say bagrenitzed? Sometimes I lapse into the yeshivis.
No, it's not here, you can't.
Okay, that's right.
And it's not here, yeah. Can't
it means like limited. She'ein ze kefi tchunas nafshi. That's not per my character. Some people won't work on anything. That's not my nature. Why don't you try to be humble? It's not my nature. Now, I think in fairness, a person does have a personality. And I think within our personality, we can be better. We can't really be different from who we are, but we can strive to... There's a place in the writings of the Chazon Ish where he says, I didn't do this because it's not my personality. So Chazon Ish could have a personality too. Feld, one of the Bracha quotes, that somebody once asked Rav Moshe Feinstein why when he delivers a hesped, he doesn't cry and bawl. He said, it's not my nature. Sure, Moshe was a caring person, but different people have different makeup. We're just within the set of characteristics that we have, we should make them the best and the strongest and implement the right one at the right time, but that doesn't mean a person has no nature at all. Umidos hu inyan rak beino ben kono. And midos is something between him and his master. Ki rak HaKadosh Baruch Hu yodeis machshavos lev ha'adam. Only Hashem knows the true thoughts in man's heart. Ka'aso ki naso alachayim v'chol argeshav. His anger, his jealousy, his feelings. Ha'im rotza betovos chavera ba'emes ochas v'shalom lehepech. Does he truly want the good of his friend, or God forbid, the opposite? And the truth is, it takes a very deep analysis. I mean, the field of psychology knows that what really is motivating a person, and we often don't know ourselves. It's very, very deep to uncover. There's a letter that the Chida quotes, a letter attributed to the Rambam, that somebody wrote a letter to the Rambam. This is always a bad idea, this kind of a thing, but he wrote a letter to the Rambam that he doesn't think he should say the what should he do? He can't say vidui because so many of those things he never did. It doesn't make sense to say averos that he never did. And the Rambam writes back, if you understood the severity and the seriousness of Yom HaDin, you would know you have done all of everything on that list, and not only that, you're going to have to do a big al chait for writing a letter with such an assertion. I don't think it means literally did those ever. We did a vestige of every different avera. So how we analyze ourselves is a very deep thing, and Hashem knows. So we talk about the fear of Omek HaDin, the depth of judgment. There's a minute people have to say at the end of Shemona Esrei, a pasuk that alludes to your name, begins with the starting letter of your name, and ends with the final letter of your name, or some other. So in the Kitzur Shlo, it mentions this practice, and it's whatever this exactly means, but the teaching is because when a person stands at the ultimate judgment, he's going to forget his name. But if it's attached to a pasuk, because the pasuk, I guess, is connected to our neshama, you'll be able to remember because you remember the pasuk. So it's just that's a pachad to think what kind of a judgment we're talking about. State your name. I can't come up with it. That's most people get at least that right on the exam. So it's something to think about. Umaod matzah shebal adam yisayin gadol v'rak adam yodei v'atzmos ma'alaso b'mesh amar ben nisyon akasha. It's very common that a person has a great nisayin, and only the person himself knows the great level that he was able to withstand this nisayin. Someone else doesn't understand what the issue is, but for the person involved, it was a huge thing. Udvarim ka'elu meromim mesadam. Things like this lift a person up. Sharezeu avodas Hashem shekula lishma. This is avodas Hashem that's lishma. It's not for anybody else. It's a private matter. There's a teaching that the Chafetz Chaim quotes that. I can't remember now. It's not a medrash. I can't remember now where it is. But that for every moment that a person closes his mouth or her mouth when you're going to say something and you don't, zocha l'or hagonus, you merit the hidden light. Nobody else saw anything. All I did was nothing. I was going to say something not nice or whatever it was, insensitive, and I didn't say it. That's a vote that's entirely lishma. Now, next paragraph. Ksiv, ayaku mehem anshe ha'ay kishloshim v'shisha ish. In Sefer Yoshua, when they go to Melchama, so the people of Ai strike. It caused casualties among the Jewish people. Kishloshim v'shisha ish. Like 36 men. This is the story with Achan. They didn't know why, and then they figured out Achan had taken it. It's the beginning of Sefer Yoshua there. So, but it's an interesting phraseology. In the pasuk, kish loshim v'shisha, like 36. Either it's 36 or it isn't 36. It's like 36. V'tanya, so there's a brace that says, shloshim v'shisha mamish divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says it means 36. Amar lo Rabbi Nechemya. Rabbi Nechemya says, v'chi shloshim v'shisha hayu? V'halo lo nemar ela kish loshim v'shisha. It doesn't say 36, it says like 36. Ela ze yo'ir ben Menashe sheshokol keneged ruba shel Sanhedrin. Rather, it was one person. It was Yair, the son of Menashe, who was equal to a majority of Sanhedrin. He's 36. Incidentally, I believe there's a question there that the Mefarshim ask. If that's true, Chazal say that only Yehoshua and Kalev survived from the generation of the wilderness, from the men. So Yair ben Menashe seems to survive also. If he's fighting in the battle of Ai, this is when Yehoshua is already after the Torah. So the answer they give, I believe, is that he may have been younger than 20. Mm-hmm. Menashe's son, he may have been, if that could be.
But that doesn't make sense, because the Shevatim were...
Yeah,
is Menashe considered a Shevet that the slavery didn't begin until after all the Shevatim were?
You'd have to work it out.
Yeah.
You'd have to work it out. It is a question, but... But anyway, that's what Chazal say. That's one person. But his point here is a mavur mizeh sheitachen she'adam echad yishokol kekama v'kama anashim. That's quite possible for one person to be equal to many people. Yisrael Salanta used to say that I know I have a head like 1,000, but Hashem expects from me like 1,000. Yisrael Salanta was absolutely a gaon. Aside from all the Musar, was on par with the greatest of the Gedolei Yisrael. Yaakov Kamenetsky used to tell over a story. It's recorded in a sefer called B'Machitzas Rabbeinu, that when Yisrael Salanter gave his psak about the cholera epidemic, that it was the late 1840s, there was an epidemic, and he held people should not be fasting on Yom Kippur. And the Dayanim in Vilna held that they should not. These people weren't sick, it's just that by fasting you're more susceptible. They held that wasn't considered a sakana. And Rabbi Yisrael, the way they tell the stories, he made kiddush. The whole machlokas would he make kiddush if you eat on Yom Kippur. But he held people should eat, and he did make kiddush. So they summoned him. They said, you don't have a right to be paskening here. And he basically sent a message back that that Beis Din followed a certain opinion, Beis Shmuel, one of the commentaries on the side of the page in Shulchan Aruch Eben Ezra. All their gittin were based on a certain Beis Shmuel. He said, I have a kasha on that Beis Shmuel that I guarantee you none of you can answer. And I'm going to cause a lot of trouble of the kashas of all the gittin here, unless you... What he's really saying is, this is the same Rabbi Yisrael Salanta, who's the Anav Shad Banovim, but when it came time to wage a battle over what he felt was Pikuach Nefesh, he said, back off or I'm going to flex some guttle muscle here. And, you know, so Rabbi Yisrael was, he had a head like 1,000, but he said, but Hashem expects from me like 1,000.
What was his kasha?
I don't know. I don't know, it's not recorded. I don't know what Beit Shmuel it was, I don't know... what it was referring to, but that's the way the story, if I recall correctly, is recorded. You have similar to this in Pirkei Avos. Im yu kol chachma Yisrael b'kaf moznaim ve'eliezer ben Hurkanus b'kaf shniyeh machriyas kulam. You have in the second paragraph of Pirkei Avos there, it says Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had 5 talmidim, and he describes each one's traits. I believe Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkanus, I think, is the one who's bar sid she'enema abetipa. He's like a container that doesn't lose anything. And it says, if you had all the Chachmei Yisrael on one side of his scale and him on the other, he would outweigh all of them. Which is quite something. But same idea. A person can be like 36 people. A person, a Chacham, can be equal to all the Chachamim. Then, by the way, there's another opinion there in the Mishnah that no, all the Chacham and him against, I think, Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch, that he would win. And the Mefarshim explained that actually that Machlokas is Machlokas. What's greater, the Baki, what we call the Sinai, or the Oker Harim? The person whose depth of understanding is profound, the person who knows everything. But anyway, but you see like that I would say the Baki or the Amkan. But it's described as Sinai versus Oker Harim in the terms the Gemara and Harius uses. Sinai is a person who's very deep. I'm sorry, Sinai is a person who's with broad knowledge, and Oker Harim is one who can uproot mountains. He's very deep. Rabbi Maimon Fishman, the Sar HaDatot, he's the only Orthodox rabbi signed on the Declaration of Independence of the State of Israel. He's a Talmud of the Aruch HaShulchan. He has a sefer called Hanosan Vayom Derech, which is a debate, it's a dispute between a Sinai and an Oker Harim. That's the way the sefer is formulated. It's fascinating. Anyway, V'lochein, therefore, Misha Amal Bataru Mataris Midosa, a person who toiled in Torah and purifies his Midos, Ein L'Sharis Chashivuso Mekom Ba'olam. You can't assess, you can't quantify his significance and importance in the world. Right, it's an old teaching, but you know, you read the newspaper, and who does the world hold to be prominent and important? And Hashem's, like I said, Hashem's map of the world. There are smaller cities that are bigger, and so on. There are anonymous people who are big names in Hashem's world. Actually, that's the Gemara that says Rav Yosef was Rav Yosef, one of the Chachamim flatlined. And he was on the other side, and when he came back, his father said, "What did you see?" And he said, "He saw Yonim Lamata V'Tachton Lamata, people who are high were low, and people who are low were high." So V'Ashrei Lo V'Ashrei Daro. So he concludes this section with the following prayer: Yehi Rava Melefnei Avinu Shebashamayim. Yehi Rava is Aramaic for Yehi Ratzon. It should be the will before our Father in Heaven. Shenizkel Hashlemus Midas, saying that we should merit to complete our midas. Lohavi Nachas Ruach LeBarenu, to bring Nachas Ruach to our Creator. V'yiskayim banu divrei chachamenu zechronu levracha, should be fulfilled in us the words of our chachamim who say on the pasuk ve'ahavtas Hashem Elokecha sheyehei shem shemayim misahev al yadcha. Ve'ahavta could be read as if it means to make loved, to make the name of Hashem loved, that the name of Hashem, the name of heaven, should be loved through you. Sheyehei korei v'shona m'shamash tamid chacham. He should study the written Torah and the Mishnah and get the training, the live training from Talmidei Chachamim. V'yehei ma'aso ma'atano b'nachas im'abrios. But as he's, at the same time that he's a great Chacham, his interactions with people should be b'nachas. And what happens? Ma'abrios omros olav. What will people say about him? Ashrei aviv shelimdo Torah, Ashrei rabo shelimdo Torah. Fortunate is, or praiseworthy is his father taught him Torah and his Rebbe taught him Torah. Oylohem labriya shelo lamdu Torah. Woe to people who haven't studied Torah. Ploni shel limdu Torah shel lamdu Torah kamara na'im drachav. Look at so and so who studied Torah. Look how pleasant his ways are. Look what you're missing if you don't study Torah. A person should be such a prime example of character or fineness that it makes people say, "Oh, I'm jealous. I didn't study Torah. That I don't have that kind of character." Rabbi Yerucham Levavitz told a story, actually, I believe, at the Chafetz Chaim's funeral, that when he had first come to Kelm, he was only there a short amount of time, and then the altar of Kelm passed away. Simcha Zisel Ziv passed away. And he went, I guess they had the aron, the casket in the front of the Beis Medrash. He was standing like behind the wall on the other side, and he was crying for hours. He said, "I only just started to learn what a human being is, and you've left me." And he was crying and crying and crying, and he said that he realized later in life that whatever he achieved in character, and Ruchem Levavitz was one of the great, great luminary Bali Musar, that it came from those tears. But you can imagine that the loss of a person's character to him was such a great loss. The altar of Kelm to him was, this is how I can understand what a human being is supposed to be. So look, that's this teaching. Kama Mesukonim Mais, of how his actions are Mesukon, they're fixed, they're proper. All of Akasav Omer, about him, this is what the Pasuk means in Sefer Yeshaya. V'yomer li'avdi ota, Yisrael asher b'cho espar. Hashem said to me, you are my servant, you are Israel, in whom I take pe'er, in whom I take glory. That's what we are ultimately supposed to be. And that concludes the first parak of the Olam HaMidos. Shall we try a little bit of MS? We're going to just make a brief beginning in the next section here. So that's all. That was all the importance of Midos. That the Vilna, as we saw in the beginning, the Vilna Gaon said a person's only alive to fix his Midos. Otherwise, what's he here for? The Rambam wrote in Hilchos Tshuva that you have to do Tshuva from bad Midos, not just from bad actions. We saw from Reb Chaim Vital that the mitzvos are built on top of Midos. The reason why we don't find so many mitzvos to have this Midos, have that Midos, because you can only do the mitzvos you already built it on them. We saw many, many teachings on the centrality of development of Midos and how that has to be an internal process. It's not like you're reading some self-help books. These are techniques that make people like you or that make you succeed. It's about changing oneself. That's a lot of what we saw in the first section. And now he actually gets to the Midos themselves. So Perek Beis is Olam Shel Emes. Each Midah he calls its own world. Well, they mostly talk about, by the way, that different people have one midah in the center, and another midah that all the other midahs revolve around it. One person, emes is his center, and chesed, and the other things go around. Another person, chesed is the center, and other things revolve around it. You know, we talk about Avraham Avinu was the midah of chesed. Does it mean he doesn't have emes? No, but it means that was the prime one. So here we're going to talk about emes in the center. Hikdamnu es midas ha-emes l'chol ha-midas ha-cheres. Says Rabbi Kestenbaum, we put the midah of emes before all the other midas. Sharehi ha-yesod sha'ala benuyin kol ha-midas. It's the foundation that all the midas are based on. Ein adam yachol l'sakin es atvam einu makir es chesronosav. A person can't fix himself if he doesn't recognize his shortcomings. A person's not honest with himself. Can't get to first base. So he doesn't seek truth. So why do it? Emes nimshali is sod habayis shetzarachli as yasher betachlis adiktuk. Emes is likened to the foundation, literally, physically, a foundation of a house that has to be extremely straight. You can make a slight error when you're on the third floor, how you put in a window, but if you built the foundation wrong, the whole thing collapses. Kol ma shiyibana olav yisakim yiskalkal. Anything that shim look, because if not, anything that will be built on it will be crooked and will break. V'chein ha'adam enu amiti v'yasher betachlas adiktuk. Same with man. If he isn't absolutely true with the ultimate and exactitude, kol ma shibona ba'atmo yachol yiskalkal. Everything he builds of himself can break. That is a profound...
So the foundation is shaky.
Yeah. Just think about it. Emes versus Sheker applies to everything we do. Mm-hmm. So everything he says and does is going to be off. Everything he thinks about himself is off. If I'm not honest with myself, so my whole day is, if you're doing math, but you're one off and everything. Right. Like nothing,
everything's
nothing,
off. Then
yeah, nothing adds up.
So my brother was had learned from the Rosh Kollel. We were talking about it last night, that they're facts, and then there's emes and sheker, and they're on different planes. So, when he gave the example that, if so-and-so runs into a house, he's being chased by someone else, and, Shimon runs into the house and says to Reuven, hide me because Levi wants to kill me, and so then he said, no, I never saw him, he's not here in my house. And so that's the emes, but it's not the fact. So when we're going at this, where are we going with it? So how do we ascertain what the emes is in us? I guess we'll learn that.
You have to be honest with yourself.
Yeah, but I think what you were saying, truth doesn't only just mean factual truth. Truth means the truth of what should be done. The truth of how I should act. The truth of how I should act, it's a dynamic truth, like you said. Somebody's about to be killed, and if you divulge where he is... You said a true fact, quote unquote, but that's not the truth. That's not MS. I was only following orders. That's not. That may be true. That may be being true to some technical structure, but it's not the truth of what we should do in life. So I think that's, I don't know the particular teaching he was referring to, but emes means the truth of what we should be doing. Not it's not a dry, you know, factual truth.
So
sometimes they're one and the same, but sometimes
I'm thinking, like, say, admit to yourself, like, I have gaiva, or I have anger. Admit to yourself, like, before you can change it, you have to accept that it's part of you. If you say that it's not part of you, then you're never going to be able to change
it. That's right. Right. And it's the way we think about everything. So, v'amru chazal shechosamo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu emes. The seal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is truth. Mitzvah aleinu lelechas bedrachav. And it's a mitzvah upon us to go in his ways. Liro shekol mahusenu yirak emes. To see that our whole mahus, we translate mahus as essence, but mahus from the word ma, what. What are you? The whatness, the mahus. Our whole mahus should be true. And that's why, I'm sure he's going to get into it, but Chazal has very strong statements about avoiding sheker and being true to oneself, or even things just the way a person thinks should be true. You see, like Eve, what you were talking about, that's the exception, where the truth in what should be pursued and the truth in the dry facts don't line up. That's more often than not, that's the exception and not the rule. Usually the truth is the truth of the facts. And in fact, we have a teaching from our Chachamim, even where we have to change the truth, to do so as minimally as possible, so as not to develop that midah. Some people, you see it in extreme, like they can't say a true word, even when it's like pathological, like never say, you know, for no reason. The Rambam talks about it in Pirkei Avos, like different levels. Some people just say untruths and there's not even any gain. It's just such a habit. And that's, of course, the opposite of what we want to pursue. But Emes is the foundation, and Be'ezus Hashem will continue next time in the pursuit of truth.
Okay.